comes to us from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. You thought that some contemporary songs repeat the same line over and over again. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 is our second reading. Short and sweet. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would blow through us even more strongly than the wind on Christmas Eve into Christmas morning. That it would not just blow through us, but that it would dwell within us. That it would fill our hearts with your breath. And that our whole lives might sing your praises. God, I ask that you would use me to convey your message to your people this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I became pregnant with our daughter, my husband, Jonathan, and I were pursuing becoming resource parents, or as it is more commonly referred to, as foster parents. The stereotype of social workers is that they love to yank children from their homes and ask questions later. The philosophy today, however, is to try to keep family units together or to reunite the families as they work together with social services to become healthier, to meet certain goals. Some resource families enter into relationship with social services hoping to foster to adopt. Others provide respite, short-term and or long-term care for children on their journey. There's a lengthy process one has to go through in order to become a resource parent. Part of that is a weeks-long course facilitated by a social worker and a veteran resource parent, during which prospective resource parents learn about the system, the purpose of it, and the relationship between resource family, child, social services, and the family of origin. In one of the sessions that Jonathan and I attended, there was a video that was shown to us of a scenario we might encounter. And after it, as we did with any other video we watched, we were to discuss what we would do if we were in that situation with a child placed in our care. In this particular video, a resource parent is in the kitchen with her foster child who has just returned from a visit with his or her parent. The child begins to act out. They scream and fuss. I want ice cream and I want it now. And they won't let it go. I want ice cream. The video ends. As the resource parent, what would you do? The social worker asks. Would you give the child the ice cream or not? The class almost universally answers, no, I wouldn't give the child the ice cream. That's just reinforcing their bad behavior, throwing a tantrum to get what they want. The social worker then asks the veteran resource parent of our class, Jade, or as Jonathan and I still to this day lovingly refer to her, Saint Jade, she was asked what she would do in that scenario. And her answer, I'd give the child the ice cream. What the child is upset about isn't what the child is actually upset about. The child has just returned from a visit with their parent. They're not upset about the ice cream. They're trying to express their feelings about the visit, about their relationship with their parents, about the separation that they're experiencing. If they want some ice cream, give them some ice cream. A reading from Galatians for today is short and sweet, as I said before. It speaks of the relationship between father, son, and the adopted. If you read it in the original Greek, what our translation translates as, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. But it's more accurately translated, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Noah and I were talking about this before a worship service, that oftentimes in songs, some of the lyrics have been changed slightly to reflect more gender-inclusive language. You know, obviously, in more traditional texts, we have a lot of masculine language, and so it's making it more inclusive for all of God's people and all of the characteristics of God. But sometimes, and that happens in Scripture as well, as you hopefully could tell, differentiate between these two translations. But sometimes when we change it to gender-inclusive language, we lose a little bit something of the meaning of the text, and that's kind of what happens in this particular text. You see, during biblical times, if a property owner did not have any sons of his own to pass down his inheritance to, the owner would adopt one of their adult male slaves, adult, not a child, but an adult male slave as his own child. Then that man would inherit upon his master's death and carry on his legacy. What Paul, the Apostle Paul, is trying to say here is God, our heavenly parent, has sacrificed his own son, his most precious possession, that we might inherit in his son's place. We are that child crying out for ice cream because of our brokenness and the brokenness of relationship that we experience. Even though our behavior, our life circumstance, our imperfect mess doesn't warrant it, God gives us what we do not deserve. It's not ice cream. It's something far better. Believe it or not, there is something better than ice cream. He gives us grace. He sacrifices his son so that we might experience healing and wholeness in our relationship with God. Why does your soul cry out, dear friends? Is it because of the separation from loved ones you are experiencing this Christmas tide? Is it for the loss of people dear to you due to COVID-19 or other illnesses or circumstance? Is it because of estrangement from loved ones due to conflict? Is it because you've been looking for meaning all over the place and whether you get what you want or not, you're still kind of miserable? Is it because the world just keeps encouraging us to lash out at each other for any reason or no reason at all? Is it because it's winter and it's cold outside and it's just plain depressing for you? Is it because you are overwhelmed by the weight of your imperfections and you just keep picking your sin up from the foot of the cross instead of laying it there and leaving it behind? Why does your soul cry out? Friends, I hope that you will receive the inheritance God is offering you in Jesus. And in response, I further hope that you will praise the Lord. Our psalm reading for today, it tells us that everything, all of creation, is meant to praise the Lord. Everything in heaven and here below, plants and animals and people and angels above, were all meant to praise the Lord. You know, oftentimes when we look at a child and we see them, we see the behavior. We see them acting out, and we judge them based on their behavior. But we are so blessed to have a God who sees beyond the things that we say and do and worship in God's place. God sees to our hearts and claims us as his own. He says, "You are mine, and I love you, and I'm with you no matter what. And I love you so much that I am willing to sacrifice the most precious thing to me so that you might be with me." This inheritance, it isn't just some thing off in the distance after this life begins and another, this life ends and the other begins. It is a healing and a wholeness that we can experience right here and right now. And because we are forgiven, because we are free, because we have this extravagant inheritance that God has given us, how can we not help but praise the Lord? And as we look around at the people around us and all living things in heaven and here below, may we see that which God has created to praise the Lord. It's just that. We were all created to praise God, everything in creation. And so my hope and my prayer, once again, is that all of us might go forth from this moment to praise our Lord for our glorious inheritance. Amen.